You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Happy New Year. It's 2021, and hopefully it's going to be a good year for the Aztecs basketball team. I am Matt Scraby. I am usually joined by Randy Holcomb, but this week Randy is going to be out. He has some things to take care of, so he's going to rejoin us next week. And I just wanted to drop a podcast real quick, the Believe Aztecs Hoops podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. Believe has a podcast for every one of your teams and the only place with a show for your favorite team. We believe in our teams. And let me tell you, over the holiday break, I went through Believe's podcast network, and there is anything you want. It's out there, and there's got some talented people. And I love the fact that these people are kind of, for lack of a better term, on the ground where these teams are located, or they have a good understanding of what these teams are all about. And if you want a podcast about the Chicago Bears, they have one for that. If you want a podcast about the Richmond Spiders basketball team, I saw that they had a podcast for that. So go check out all of the Believe podcasts. It's an awesome network. I'm glad I'm part of it. I know Randy is as well. So we're happy to have you with us. Let's just start with the Aztecs. And I guess I just cannot get past the fact that they lost to Colorado State on Saturday night, 70-67. It was embarrassing, to say the least. There's no way to sugarcoat this, and I hope that I'm not too negative of a guy on this podcast, because there is a lot to be positive about. I mean, it was just one game, but it was, the Aztecs lost a game that they just had no business losing, and this is going to be a little doom and gloom for a second, so bear with me. But I think we all felt the same way when we were watching that game on Saturday, seeing the Aztecs go up by 26 points. And then I saw that they lost the lead, or I was watching when they lost the lead. And it was on the worst part about this whole thing, I think, after they lost the lead, is that I realized this game is on national TV. It was on our CBS 8 here in San Diego, and it was broadcast all over the country to everyone who wanted to watch the basketball, who usually watches CBS basketball at that time. And it was a time for the Aztecs to really show the country what they're all about, and kind of put to rest some of those rumors of an East Coast bias or a West Coast bias, because usually that's where I'm at. I've been a West Coast guy my entire life, and I feel like there is some sort of bias over here because people aren't watching the games. And the Aztecs, we know that the Aztecs are a better basketball team than they were on Saturday night, or Saturday during the national TV broadcast. This was a big loss. It was a huge loss. And this has the possibility to impact seeding in the tournament later on, because now you're in a Mountain West who might get three bids at the most for the NCAA tournament, and you're kind of on the outs looking in from here on out. The rest of the season basically is going to be, you have to try to go undefeated. And I know that they're not going to do that, but each game now is very important. It's all in Mountain West Conference play. They have to figure out a way to reverse course on these two losses that they had that they really had no business losing. So except BYU was a tough team. I don't blame him for losing to BYU, but this loss on Saturday was just something where I was just shaking my head the entire time. And there's a couple things about what happened on Saturday. I saw after the game Matt Mitchell said that the team may have lost focus down the stretch, which was surprising to me because Brian Detcher's not a guy who's going to allow his team to lose focus, and I'm really, really surprised that they lost such a big lead. They were the first Mountain West team ever to lose a 26-point lead, and that's never a good record to hold. It's not the one that you want to be known for, and Brian Dutcher's teams are known for being disciplined and being prepared and being ready to play, and it just seemed like this team kind of looked past Colorado State a little bit when they did get up to their big lead. And that is something I think that the team will not ever do again this season, because they will realize. So there is a silver lining in this, I believe. I believe that they are able to learn from this and realize that there is no lead that is safe in college basketball, and there's no lead that's safe in the Mountain West. And obviously against them, they have good defense. That's another characteristic of a Brian Dutcher team, is good defense. So to give up all those points and have Colorado State go on these long runs in the second half, it just is a recipe for disaster every single time. And it doesn't really make sense to me because of how we know that this team can play and how we know that Brian Dutcher likes to coach his teams. Another thing we kind of talked about in previous podcasts was that Nathan Mensah, well, let me not just single him out first. It's an inconsistency across the team, because there are a couple players that aren't really able to keep that consistent level of play across a few game stretch instead of just a single game, and then they go into, you know, some sort of slump for a couple games and then they come out of it. But Nathan Mensah, we've seen this before, and he was dominant against Arizona State. In the next game, he didn't have a very good game at all. And against St. Mary's, where the Aztecs just dominated St. Mary's, Nathan Mensah was a dominating force in that game too. He had 18 points, 13 rebounds, and 6 blocks against St. Mary's. And in this first Colorado State game, he had 4 points, 4 rebounds, and 1 block. So you got to be better than that. And I'll even take, I mean, he doesn't need to be great like the 18 points, 13 rebounds, 6 blocks every night. I'll even take the 10 points, 9 rebounds, and 6 blocks. I like the 6 blocks because he is awesome in the middle. And he's just an interesting and fun defender to watch play, because I like shot blockers. They're always kind of gauging up where the basketball is, and I just love to see a good shot blocker, which Nathan Mensah is a really good shot blocker. So he is fun to watch when he's running on all cylinders, but sometimes when he's struggling, you kind of just are questioning why, because he's so good. We know he's so good. But those are all things that he needs to just play. He needs to just play and work all of these different things out, because he wasn't able to play much last year. He wasn't able to be out on the court. He wasn't able to practice. So he's just kind of trying to find himself in college basketball, and I think he's going to be just fine. But right now in this season, the Aztecs need a little bit more consistency from Nathan Mensah. And the same goes for Trey Pulliam. He has games where he looks great, and then he has games where he just doesn't make a basket. In the Colorado State game, he didn't make a basket in 34-plus minutes. He did have 6 assists, which is nice, because he's a guard and he needs to distribute the ball, and the offense needs to kind of run through other people other than him. But there needs to be a more of a scoring threat. And when you got someone like Terrell Gomez, who is the transfer from Cal State Northridge, when you got someone like him, and he's a good scorer, he's an above average scorer. I mean, he's definitely above average scorer. He's one of the best shooters in the country. So I don't want to sell him short there, but when you have Trey Pulliam on the court with your guys, Matt Mitchell and Jordan Shackle, you're taking away, I guess, the thought process would be is that you can't feed 3 shooters. You can't feed 3 scorers on the court. So when Trey Pulliam comes out, and maybe Matt Mitchell or Jordan Shackle or both go out of the game and they are resting, then you can have Terrell Gomez in, and you kind of have that second line of defense so that your starters can get their rest. But at the same time, you're not worried about what's going to happen on the court. You know that you can you can push the lead, or you can push, you know, that you can keep up with the other team by playing defense and having someone like Terrell Gomez on the court to score. So those are things that Brian Dutcher might experiment with later, is going with a different lineup, because Trey Pulliam needs to score, especially when he, even if he gives 6 or 8 points, he needs to score. And the other thing that the team needs to do, and I'm really going downhill on this, but it's so easy to point out things that are wrong, and it's so hard to point out things when it's going well. And I'm going to talk about the game when they beat Colorado State in just a second, so I'll get on from this. But these are all things that I'm seeing early in the year that need to be fixed if they want to make a deep run in the Mountain West Conference tournament or even the NCAA tournament. And that's make your free throws. They are not shooting their free throws very well. And when you're at the line and you're shooting 14 for 30, you have a very slim chance to win when you're not taking advantage of these free points. Now, you don't have to make all of them, but even just making 6 more is something that could change a game. And they need to figure out why they're not making their free throws. It's like, I play a lot of golf, and I always tell people that are new to golf that you don't need to go big off the tee every single time. And when you're practicing, maybe practice your putting as well, because when you're going big off the tee, that's one shot. But when you're on the green and you miss a 3-foot putt, that's all the same. It doesn't matter how far it goes. It counts for all the same, and you're leaving strokes out there on the course. And it's the same, I hope I'm explaining that well, but it's the same in my mind, at least, with the Aztecs not making their free throws. They have to make their free throws. They have to take advantage of the opportunities that they're given, because they're not like they were last year where they can score it well. They have to use their opportunities to their benefit, and they have to limit opportunities for the other team. I know, I just pretty much said they have to score more than the other team to win the game. But I think, I don't know, in a roundabout way, maybe it works. Now, I told you I was going to talk about the Aztecs. They beat Colorado State 78-65. It was a good game. Jordan Shackle had a career-high 28 points and 8 threes in that 78-65 win. And it's interesting because it was the second game of their two-game set, which are going to be two-game sets from here on out, in conference play at least. And we've talked about it on this podcast before with Randy. He said that he finds it interesting because in the second game, the team already has played them in the first game, so it's a different strategy for coaches and for teams going into the second game. So it was, I was really interested to see what they were going to do, and what they did was what exactly I thought they were going to do in the game before. But again, Jordan Shackle, career high, 28 points. He's one of the best shooters in the country. He has such a pure stroke, 8 threes, and you got a lot of people. You know, I saw a lot of tweets out there because there was a point where they were up 26 points, the Aztecs were, and I saw some tweets about, uh-oh, here we go again. And I kind of had that feeling too, trust me, because I fear the worst. And with 2021 and 2020 and all that stuff, you know, it's kind of weird, and you never know what could happen. But I attribute them coming back to a little bit to prevent defense in, say, the NFL. You know, when a team's up a lot, they just relax their guys, make sure nothing big happens, nothing goes over the top, and they waste the clock, they limit the damage. And I think that's kind of what the Aztecs were doing there when they were up by 26. There was no real threat from Colorado State to come back, and it was good to see that the team refocused and got back on track and going again. And they're going to have to buckle down or strap down is what I was going to say, but I don't really think strap down is a term. I don't think it is, but they're going to have to buckle up because they're going to be playing Nevada at home, and then they're going to be going on the road to play Air Force, and they're also going to be going on the road to play Utah State. They're playing Utah State first, and then they play Air Force. So 4 games on the road, and these are two places that are tough to play. Utah State, obviously there's no fans, but still, the Mountain West is called the Mountain West for a reason. It has a lot of games held in the mountains, and it doesn't take a geologist or a genius to know that, but a lot of these schools are at higher elevations, and the Aztecs have played here before. Jordan Shackle, Matt Mitchell have played at Utah State. They've also played at Air Force. So it's going to be a tough stretch for them, with Nevada, then Utah State, and then Air Force. But we'll really know what the team is all about here after this little the first road trip of conference play in the season. And I do believe that they're going to come out of that winning at least five of those six games, maybe four on the bad side, but that would be disastrous in my mind. And I know that's a little bit dramatic, but that would be a disaster if they were to lose more than two games. I would say kiss the NCAA tournament goodbye if they did that, unless they were to win the Mountain West Conference tournament, of course. So that's all my thoughts here on the Aztecs in the last couple weeks. Randy, again, will join us next week. I know he was bummed that he couldn't be here this week. He's just got stuff going on. So I said, it's okay, Randy, you get things together, and we'll join up next week for the Believe Aztecs Hoops podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. Please tell all your friends about it. Please go and follow Believe. You can follow me at Matt Scraby, MattSkraby, on Instagram, Twitter, all that good stuff. And reach out to me. Let me know what you think about the show. Let Randy and I know what you think about the show. Appreciate everyone listening, and we'll be back with you next week with some more Aztecs Hoops Podcast.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because... I love the charcoal mask. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink? This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera. Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie. And fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.